The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So second and 10. This time fumbled and scooped up. John Simon's got a scoop and score opportunity. Hyde put it on the ground, and the Texans cash in. Gabbert downfield at the 20. McDonald 15. Vance McDonald, touchdown, 49ers. Second and short out of the gun. Takes that high snap, and he'll go down.
You know, see exactly what happened, but, you know, just from my brief time on the field and getting a generic feel from seeing the sideline photos and things like that, was it completely what I wanted tonight? Absolutely not, but rarely, you know, is it ever. So I think the biggest thing about tonight is we did some really good things offensively, and we know we have some things that we need to learn from and grow and get better at. And, you know, that's what we'll do this week in practice, and I'm very confident we'll be better next weekend.
So, do we get a Brock and fold? Oh, it wasn't that bad. Let's not overreact. Let's have some fun today. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. No A.J. today. He's in New Mexico learning how to beat the crap out of people for his upcoming fight. No Jong Lee today either. He called in sick. So, producer Tyler and a very special guest that we'll get to in just a second. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at Jerome Solomon, at producer T. Scott. Yes, I've got it nailed. There is no ad degenerates 975 because Jong's not here to run it. So you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And when John called in sick, my first thought was, oh, holy bleep, because the last time it was just me and we had fill-ins, not good. Except
did not go well?
It did not go well. And I'm not blaming Tyler in particular, but since I knew Jerome was doing the show with me, I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Tyler can handle it. I mean, he's no Jong, but who is?
No, that's true. Jong is a superstar, but AJ is off today and tomorrow. He'll be back on Wednesday. He's off in New Mexico prepping for his fight.
I'll sub for him. I can be an angry white guy. I've been living angry black guy for so long.
Can you be screaming white guy? Because apparently that's what people like is when we did the whole full East Coast, Midwest radio guy screaming at you thing. If you can do that, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, I'm not a screamer. I'm a lover.
Okay, well, you don't want to get over there and go, Brock Osweiler is a bust. I can tell after seven passes.
Get that guy out of here. We can see it from the first pass of the game. A man wide open, and he missed him. Is this what we're going to get, Texans? Is this what we're going to get from Osweiler all season? $37 million. Like it's our money.
Yeah, exactly.
I have yet to mention a dollar figure in anything I've written. And at some point, you have to. And I get it. It means something. But it means so little to me. It's just... It's not my money. It doesn't matter how much they paid the guy. They brought him in to be the starting quarterback. So the amount they paid him has nothing to do with it. Can he play or not play is far more important. But everything they'll put out there will be about the money. And I even mess with my man, he's been here about a year now. Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans.
Does a good job.
Yeah, but every story he writes about any player, he mentions their contract. And it's like, when it has nothing to do with it, because I just think that builds up a thought process from people who are jealous about how much the athletes make, as opposed to can they play or not. I don't care how much you make. Can you play?
I agree, and I think that's one of those media things that we suck at, because anytime you put that in there, you're making it important. And people think it's important. It's really not. That's the going rate for guys. And if you look at his contract, that's a going rate for quarterbacks, even mid-level ones. So know, that's it doesn't matter. And is it a huge number? Yeah. Is it more than most people are ever going to make in their life? Yeah. But you know what? Most people can't get out there and throw a football. So.
And it really, in most ways, it doesn't matter. And how people go, oh, there's a salary cap. But it doesn't matter. Whatever they paid him did not stop them from signing anybody else. And the idea is they decided he is the guy that can start at quarterback for us. It didn't matter how much Ryan Fitzpatrick made 2 years ago. It didn't matter how much Brian Hoyer made last year. It doesn't matter. That's the guy you chose, and I'm going to dog you for choosing that guy if he can't play. I don't care what you paid him because I'm not paying him.
Well, let's start with the non-overreaction, which is he didn't look good, but it's seven passes. I don't know how many times we've seen. I've seen Aaron Rodgers look like crap for seven passes and then hit 15 in a row. The things I didn't like were trends from last year that he did with the Broncos, throwing short of the sticks on third down and fourth down.
Yeah.
That's something that concerns the hell out of me.
He's a little jittery in the pocket, but that offensive line would make you jittery.
Yeah, that group that's out there now especially. I mean, if you've got Kendall Lamb on one side protecting you. But, it's – would I have liked him to look better? Yeah, but it's preseason. It's meaningless. And hopefully with practice, he'll get those plays down. And it's just not enough of a body of work to judge. It's just a bad sample size. I mean, it's a small sample size of kind of bad play.
Yeah. The only thing that I'll throw in there, and again, I'm not going to come close to making a judgment about what Brock Osweiler brings to the table for the Texans at this point or at any point this entire season, honestly. And I'm sure I'm going to get dogged from some people. If he's horrible, I'm not going to go way overboard. And if he's good, I'm not going to go way overboard either. I'm going to be as fair as I can be, with the understanding that in talking to the people I've talked to with the Broncos, and forget all that crap about, oh, they offered him money and blah, 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 and there's a back and forth between the fans over whether they wanted him or not. Forget all that. People I've talked to with the Broncos are like, we don't know if he can play. And that's what I'm going with. They don't know if he can play, and he was there with them. And they don't know if he can play. It's that simple. So I know damn well the Texans don't know if he can play. And eventually, if he can't play, the players will tell us before Bill O'Brien or Rick Invisible Smith will.
I haven't talked to you since Rick Smith got his extension. What was that about?
Proud for the brother. brother working it, dog. What you talking about? Yeah, I haven't got a raise since you left the Chronicle. Rick Smith keep getting raises and everything, so he's doing a much better job than I am in negotiating his deal. Clearly Bob McNair trusts him, likes him, and appreciate what he brings to the table. And that's one of those things where I'm a person like it's not important enough to me to be concerned with how much money he's making, because unlike some of these, he could be fired at any time. He's just not going to be. Bob McNair has told us, and we act like we don't believe him when Bob McNair tells us he's doing a good job. You try to argue with that, and like, well, what? The man who is the most important decision maker there says Rick has done a great job, and he has done an outstanding job with his first round draft picks. He's done a horrendous job with middle round picks. That's why, in a large part, why the special teams have been so bad in recent years, because you've got third and fourth round picks who are not only not contributing on offense or defense, they're not even on the damn team. But Rick has played the political game well enough, and we don't know this, and he does it well enough that he doesn't come out and talk much. If he talked more, people would probably dislike him more. But clearly he's told Bob McNair, I want this guy, that guy, that guy. But your coach want this guy, and that guy. I'm going to give the coach what he wants. We'll see how it works out. And Bob McNair is like, well, Rick, you were right. You're right again, Rick. You know, and I just think if I had a general manager, I would want him to tell the head coach far more often than Rick probably does, dude, no, we're not going to do that. we're going to get this guy because he's a better player. I'm not going to give you what you want every time. And I think Rick tends to give the head coach what he wants, make the head coach happy, and if it fails, it's the head coach's fault.
Well, I guess that's how you stay employed. All I know is you deserve more, a raise more than he does. You've won more awards than he has. Say that. Nobody named him one of the best general managers in the world. So.
As my nephew says, he ain't killing nothing. He ain't letting nothing die. He's just out there.
Well, a couple other things just to follow up on. We'll take some calls next segment at 713-780-3776. Roger says, after the first half, I've learned the Texans can't tackle, and little Tommy Savage throws a better ball than New Million Dollar Man Brock. First off, the tackling, they don't get to actually practice tackling in practice anymore, not to the extent that they need to. So the first preseason game, you are going to suck at tackling. They're probably going to suck at tackling in the second preseason game and maybe even the third.
Well,
because you're not actually out there live tackling people in practice the way that they used to because the rules have changed.
It just doesn't work that way. But more importantly than that, look at the people who missed the tackles. They're not going to be playing. They're not going to be on the field.
Yeah, if they are, things have gone horribly wrong.
Right, yeah. So that, I mean, you want to break it down and go, oh, this is what the team looks like. We did not see the Texans last night. We still don't know what the Texans look like. Heck, three of their best tacklers, the best defensive players, didn't even play. And on that note, why was Vince Wilfork out there?
Yeah, I
what does he have to prove?
What is Jonathan Joseph doing out there?
Excuse me, really?
Yeah.
Exactly. That makes no sense. But beyond that, I mean, you've got J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and Brian Cushing. You know, these guys are going to be three of your top five tacklers on the team. They were not on the field. I love it when I hear just even analysts or everybody, like, well, you know, so-and-so did it against the third teamers. There are no third teamers in the NFL. If you're third string, you didn't make the team. There are only 45 guys on a game day roster. That's first and second team. Third teamers do not play in this league. And first game of the preseason, what we saw last night from Santa Clara, a bunch of third teamers. It's you just can't make any hardcore conclusions off it, except Brock Osweiler is not very accurate, and Tom Savage is a better quarterback because he's looked like a better quarterback in the first week and a half or whatever training camp, and right now he looks like a better quarterback. We'll see if that plays out down the road.
We'll see if he stays healthy. I'm surprised he got off the field last night without breaking something. All right, quick break. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. The great Jerome Solomon joins us today. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Jerome Solomon filling in. I think tomorrow it's Barry Laminack. So we got we brought you the A-teams for the next couple days. Dude, I am feeling really old today for a variety of reasons. But I made such a stupid mistake Saturday.
Really? No.
Decided.
Let's see what. Hold on. Before you go sharing, I'll let the people listening try to think of, okay, when an old person says they made such a stupid mistake on a Saturday.
Oh, you would imagine I woke up in a brothel somewhere.
Well, but, yeah. I was about to say, you know, the U.S. Olympic basketball team claiming they accidentally walked into a brothel was where I was going to start with the story. I have some friends who accidentally went to that brothel in Rio 5 nights in a row.
David Barron, one of them. But you talk about getting flustered when I asked him about that. I said, Jerome wants to know if you walked into a no. Not on purpose and not by accident.
Dave was like, whoa, what's a brothel?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. No, Dave,
Go ahead.
See, that, no.
Come on.
That wasn't going to come out right.
He's in Rio. He's not going to hear it.
But no, I was just going to say how much he loves gymnastics and the little girl. But it was not going to come out right. I was going to say he loves his gymnastics, so he's busy. He's not going to a brothel. But that sounds
It sounds like lewd. He loves little. But, you know, if you just mention that alley chick, she's 22. It makes it legal. Creepy, but legal.
Oh, man.
But
that's not why. I bet you there are, like, you know, weird watch parties for that stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. I can tell because half of them jumped me on Twitter when I said NBC should quit showing 13-year-old ass on the balance beam, which was disgusting, and people are giving me grief over it. There's a Jared from Subway group out there, I'm telling you.
Okay, yes, but I assume people are giving you grief because they didn't notice that what it was until you pointed it out because they're not creepy like that.
Nah, I don't know how you could miss it. They basically got wedgies in your face. And I'm sorry, that's disgusting. I don't want any part of that, NBC. I got a million reasons why I hate NBC, but that's up there.
What do they do? Should they back away? You know, but they certainly don't need to hone in and focus on this.
I don't want to get going on this again, but they don't have to wear those uniforms like that either. I mean, do you really have to have those $1,000 uniforms? You're going to fall off the balance beam if you're wearing shorts? I don't think so, but well.
You get some wind resistance, right? I mean, if they're flapping
shorts.
They could at least wear, what kind of those shorts are that, you know, more like the volleyball players wear, but down to the knee, you know, just above the knee.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff they could wear, but oh well, it's no never mind to me because I'm never watching gymnastics again.
And thousands of listeners are like, I'd never even noticed that. Now they won't be able to watch it same again.
I know, but I blame NBC for a lot of it from the shot angles. We don't really need to see that stuff, and you know, who cares?
And it's not about their looks. It's about their athletic ability and their talent.
Well, yeah, that's what it should be. But 713-780-ESPN. No, I was really stupid Saturday. I decided, you know what? I know it's hot, but I'm going to try to run a 5K. And not only was it brutally hot Saturday morning, it was 90% humidity. It is the dumbest thing I've ever done. And that's saying a lot because I've done some dumb things.
Well, you're planning on dying soon.
So well, yeah. You know. I tried to speed it up, believe me. But it was so bad when I got home. My shoes were soaked from just the freaking sweat. They're still wet. I mean, I put my clothes in a bag and weighed them. They weighed 22 pounds just from sweat.
Yikes.
It was horrible.
You were running around with like body weights on.
Oh, I felt worse than I did after running that half, man. And then yesterday I get the brilliant idea. Well, I need to go get on the bike and zip around for a little bit. That wasn't very smart either.
Now, your clothes weigh 22 pounds. When you squeeze it out, you know, did you drink the beer?
Oh, I drank the beer. actually, I treated myself with poutine. So.
No. My point is.
Oh, no. That beer, no. That's secondhand beer, man. But no, I treated myself with poutine. I'm gonna give a shout out to my friends over at the Maple Leaf Pub have a kitchen now, and they serve poutine, which I'm sure in your world travels you have had at some point, but it's fantastic. Oh, as is the other thing, you can't really say on air, which I hope you
really?
Didn't. Yeah, you're not really supposed to use that word, but that's okay.
Well, I mispronounced poutine.
Exactly. That's the only
John's
reason.
John's not here.
Yeah, exactly.
Did Tyler do the right thing? No.
No, of course he didn't.
I thought he said brother poutine, hanging. So.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know what it is. Do you?
Yeah, it's poutine is fries
no.
with.
No, not
Oh, no,
that.
I know the what other thing. Yes, I know what you're
You
trying
sure
to say.
About that?
Yeah, I'm aware.
Mon said, you guys need to hit on ABC's Texans feed for 3 years in a row. Honestly, I know they work for the team, but I have this thing where I have an over-under on how long it takes me to turn down a broadcast. I got about 2 minutes in last night, and I muted it.
Well, mine, I didn't even get
and
to
I
watch
like,
the
like,
first
I like Spencer.
It.
I just
Spencer's good. He knows his stuff.
But in that role where he's Homer guy, it's just too much.
The Texans paying him, we do not get what Spencer Tillman is capable of at all.
Right.
And I'm not even necessarily faulting him for that, because if he doesn't do that, then they wouldn't have him on the broadcast, I assume. I mean, that's kind of the thing. But no, it's awful. I don't pay much. I'm like you. I don't really pay any attention to it. And last night I missed most of the early part of it because the weather was so bad and my DirecTV went out, so I was kind of stuck.
Yeah, I was. Mine came back right as they were kicking off. I was getting a little bit worried about that, but I was trying to find it online. Boy, every site that I could find was one of these overseas sites with 600 pop-ups and sumo porn and crap like that. And it's like, ugh.
And then you got stuck on the sumo porn. And
yeah, because it was like the game. You start watching it and you're disgusted by it, but at the same time, you can't take your eyes away. And it's just like the Texans. 832 says, longtime Cowboys fan here. First off, you're right about the tackling criticism. The Texans D will be fine. I'm not letting myself overreact with Prescott's performance, but I will say I was most impressed with his poise, given it was the first preseason game. Should I remain optimistic? Look, I like Dak Prescott a lot. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I'd point out is you can't really read anything into preseason games except when a guy looks really bad. I mean, if a guy looks really good at quarterback, he's kind of supposed to. He's going up against a vanilla defense. But it's still, you still have to go out and do it.
You have to look good. I mean, that's the thing. You have to produce. And what if I were a Cowboys fan, what I would take from it is that, okay, if I put him behind that line and I've got, you know, Dez Bryant on the outside, he knows how to throw it in the general area. And that's, trust me, it's you don't want to overreact like, oh, this guy's going to be the next greatest. No, forget that. It's just, you know, he's not God awful right now. And there are a lot of teams in the NFL, their backup quarterbacks, they know their backup quarterback is God awful before the game starts. So at least now you have some hope. And maybe, you know, when Tony Romo gets hurt, and he will, the guy will come in and you'll go, oh man, he's God awful too. But right now, at least you still have hope because you haven't seen him be bad. That's a good thing.
Well, I liked him coming out of college. I like him as a project. I think that's a guy that, if you give him time, is going to be a very useful quarterback in the NFL. So I give him high marks for the other night. But again, you see a lot of backup quarterbacks do that. But Case Keenum looked great, you know, in his little bit. You know, you want to talk about backup quarterbacks that suck, Jared Goff.
But Case Keenum,
he's been in the league.
People say what they want about Case Keenum. If you were running a team and he was on it, you wouldn't mind putting him out there when you have to, when you're desperate.
Right. You don't mind if he starts three or four games. I mean, more than that, you're getting into trouble.
Yeah, that might even be a bit much. Yeah. But, you know, but you'll put him out there.
He can go 2-2. He can go 2-2 in that stretch.
That's all you can ask out of a backup quarterback. Can he go out there and we still play football? And that's the real key. I spent most of the afternoon today with Ryan Leaf, and we talked a little bit about, you know, NFL and how it works and all of that, and you know, he's going through this huge recovery, and he's, you know, he's a changed man and all of that. But it's fascinating to me of when you're in a position that, like Ryan Leaf, where you're the poster boy for bad football, when he was so talented and so good. The Colts, you know, early, most of the way through the draft process, had he, the team scouts had he and Peyton Manning dead even. You know, Manning eventually pulled away and they decided to go with Peyton Manning, but Ryan Leaf was that close and that talented. We act like it's easy. We know it's not, but we sometimes act like it do because we dog guys for not being great. When with a guy like Case Keenum, I don't need him to be great. I just need him to be not awful, and he's not awful.
And so much of it, and I'm sure Ryan talked to you about this because he talked about it with us at the Super Bowl, so much of it is mental, and so much of it's really wanting to play at that level and realizing that you have to outwork people even if you are more talented. And a lot of guys don't have that. A lot of guys just want to show up. And you can't do that, especially at the quarterback position.
One great thing I know about the break, one great thing that he said, and I can tell it kind of irked him because, you know, he's the only, you know, first-round draft pick to come out of Montana at quarterback. And, of course, Brock Osweiler is from Montana, too. And he saw all of the quotes and all the stuff with Osweiler when he was in college and high school. And Osweiler saying, everybody's telling me, don't be like Ryan Leaf. Don't be like Ryan Leaf. And Ryan Leaf did. And you know me, I'm always with the athletes, even guys like Ryan Leaf. He's like, no, people act like I didn't work to get there. You know, you had to work to be to get to a certain point. Now, he may have blown it once he got there, but to act as if he didn't do anything to get to be as good as he was is kind of unfair.
You know what's interesting about him, and obviously he wouldn't have gotten there if he hadn't gone through all the things he's gone through, but talking to him now, if he were coming out of college with the knowledge he has now.
Oh, that's a guy you'd draft.
That's a guy you would take. But
oh, yeah.
Because he's changed so much, but you know, you have to go through that stuff sometimes to do it. We're going to take a quick break. Michael said, I had my going away party last night. I got too drunk at my own party and was kicked out. First for everything.
That, how you get kicked out of your own party?
That is an awesome degenerate move, I have to say.
We're going to continue this party, but you got to go.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Jerome Solomon filling in today for A.J. He will be back on Wednesday. He's over in New Mexico, where it might be hotter than it is here. I don't know. But hope everybody had a great weekend. Doing a little sports here. How impressive is Usain Bolt? We tend to,
dude.
I know that's your guy.
Dude.
I know you have a personal history with him.
Oh God! I mean, I can't even. He's not even as good as he could be.
Oh, if he could ever get off to a good start.
Well, no, that's not it. He's not as good as he could be because nobody else is good enough to make him better.
Yeah.
I mean, because if they ran faster, so would he. If they pushed him farther, he'd go fast. The dude is so amazing and so fascinating to watch. And I don't know where you're going to go with this conversation. I mentioned in the column on Saturday, in the three most electrifying or exciting performers I've ever seen in person, Usain Bolt, Michael Phelps, and Prince. And that's not what the column was about, but they bring that same feeling of excitement, and you know they're going to deliver, and every time you show up, they do it. But and then there's the discussion about, you know, Phelps being the greatest ever and, the you know, all of that. And I love him. As I say, he's on that list of mine. But Usain Bolt is so ridiculous. Wow.
I just want to see him get out of the gate once and get off to a start where he breaks with everybody and not.
When he's even with everybody, he's gotten. Yeah. I saw that. That's where the 9.5 came from, you know. Yeah. When he gets up to top speed and you watch the race, you watch the photos.
He's just looking to see where the other guy is until he passes.
Oh, he's like, okay. Or you watch him. He's almost at the finish line. He's looking up at the big screen. Everybody else is, you know, grinding, and he's looking, oh, okay, I got this. I'm good. Or that one from the semifinal last night. Did you see that photo? The big one. He's smiling, looking to the side, like, okay, what y'all? That's all you guys got? It's just absolutely amazing at 6'5", and they. You know, and I did a story when he first burst on the scene before he'd won a gold medal before the Olympics, and he set the first time he broke the world record. And I talked to this professor at Rice about, you know, the physics of it, and it was real simple. He said most of the high-end elite athletes in sprints, they pick them up and put them down at the same pace. They boom, 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 boom at the same, except. Since he's 6'5", when he picks it up and puts it down, he's that much farther ahead of the next guy. And it's just, and no one has been able to be his size and keep up with the shorter guys. And now the shorter guys can't keep up with him.
I think the memes of Bolt after he won were probably the best ones I've seen, with especially the one that had Steph Curry's face on Gatlin and LeBron's face on Bolt's. That was pretty good. Frobius says bolt height prevents him from starting like the other guys. Not possible. I disagree. I think it's a disadvantage, but he could get out faster. He can't get up, maybe get up to speed as quickly as those guys. Yeah. But once he does, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. The burst isn't, and that's, I mean, it's as juiced as he was with the horse drugs he was using. Ben Johnson shot out of the blocks. I mean, he just pow. And then the steroids took over and he ran past everybody because he was already gone. If Bolt was anywhere near that, my goodness, I can't even imagine what he would do. But his top end speed is just better than everyone. He's still accelerating at 100. That's the thing. Most other people are leaning and slowing down. He's accelerating.
Yeah, he really, the last 20, 30 meters is when he does his best running. And it almost seems like, okay, this guy's a length in front of me. All right, I'm just going to pass him. And then that's it.
And it's going to freak us out. And maybe he'll quit before then, but the day that he doesn't do it, we're going to be like, whoa. It's going to look weird. It's not going to look right.
Yeah, it happens to everybody, though. And
like I said, but maybe he'll retire just on top. I mean, I thought that was the case with Phelps in London. I was like, he only won 4 gold medals. And I'm like, well, okay, this is it for him. He can't really, he just can't keep up with the youngsters anymore. He's, you know, he's done. He's all of, you know, whatever he was, 26 years old. There's nothing he can do now. And then all of a sudden, he goes out and goes to rehab, gets his life back together, starts training, and he shows up this last week and puts on a show.
He's still on my list of dudes I want to get high with. That would be fun.
I've never put together a list of dudes I want, but I'm not a getting high kind of person.
I see.
I have a natural high. You people that need these out substances, I don't understand that. But
better for you than alcohol, pal.
But I wouldn't. But if that were the case, I wouldn't. I don't know if I would put Phelps on that list, though. That's interesting. I don't know.
I bet he'd be a lot more interesting high than he is not. Let me just put it that way.
Okay. Okay. Because he's not that all that interesting guy. No. I spent a lot of time around him. He wasn't. I mean, it was when a lot more of it was when he was younger. He's not that bright.
When he was hitting the bong and banging trannies, I mean, that's the kind of guy I want to get high with.
He's not that smart. But I did know there was a comedian, and I have satellite radio, so I listen to the comedy channels on satellite radio. I don't even know who this guy was or is, but he has a bit about Michael Phelps and smoking and all that.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's like, I mean, because he's Phelps, he can take in a lot of oxygen in his lungs and swim, and that's what, you know, his body's built like a turtle, but he's, you know, and all of that. And like, I don't know if you'd want to get high with him because, you know, he's sucked in and it's gone.
Might not be able to keep up.
No. There is none left after he has.
Well, you better go first. You better go first then. That's all.
I'm sure you've seen or heard the Snoop Dogg talking about getting high with Willie Nelson, right?
Yeah. That's both great. Those guys are on my list, too.
Yeah, Snoop's like...
Well, Snoop like, I kind of crossed off, sort of, but...
because?
Well, there was... We were in an elevator in San Francisco for the Super Bowl because he was staying in our hotel.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know...
I haven't heard this.
I sort of crossed it off. We didn't actually sit around and get high, but... I did partake while we were going up the elevator with Snoop in it.
But
so that I'm going to count that. You know, it's probably as close as I'm ever going to get. Yeah. That's a victory. That's a W.
That's one of those. If you're in the same room with Snoop, you're getting high.
you're in the same elevator with Snoop.
You are high.
And his guys that were with him were just.
Could not pass a breathalyzer after you walk out of an elevator with Snoop.
Well, thank goodness I didn't have to pass the breathalyzer. 713-780-ESPN. Are you at all worried about your basketball team?
Which is
the well, not the which, not the which, women which because they're just crushing everybody. That would be the biggest upset of the Olympics.
They're heavy favorites, and no, I'm not that concerned about the men's team either. They got a little full of themselves, and they've been messing around. And it's not a great team compared to the other great teams that the U.S. has put out there, but it's still a great collection of players, and they're good enough to beat everybody that's out there. So I'd be surprised. I would be less surprised if they didn't win the gold medal, if they had won these last three games by 30 points. Then the first time they got surprised in a tight game, they could choke. But now that they've had three close games, granted, I wasn't expecting three close games in a row.
Yeah.
But I still think that.
But they also pulled them out, and that's something I don't think you benefit a lot from beating teams by 50. Mm-mm. But actually having to work and make some plays at the end is helpful. I think it's I'm surprised that they've had three in a row like this, but I'm kind of with you. I think they'll be fine once they get to the medal
round.
The
biggest problem is they don't have the best player in the world on the team. And the U.S. shows up at the Olympics. Every time the U.S. shows up at the Olympics, it should have the best player in the world on the team. And the times that they didn't show up with the best player in the world on the team is when they didn't win.
Well, although you look at this group, they should be more than good enough. I mean, you've got, you know, Kevin Durant is no slouch. And I'll say this.
You got seven out of the best 10 or whatever.
Yeah, and Carmelo Anthony is a much better player in international ball.
Well, he's a hell of a basketball player.
He is, but for some reason, international ball just suits his game. And, I mean, he's as good as anybody.
You put him with a lot of other good players, and you don't ask him to deliver and lead.
Be the guy.
And be the guy. And the one thing that we seem to always kind of forget when we talk, because you asked me about them. You didn't ask me about anybody they're playing. The one thing you've got to remember, every team they play, Carmelo Anthony is better than every player on those teams. Carmelo. So, yeah, the U.S. is supposed to win.
Well, more on that. We got some other stuff to get to, but we got to take a quick break. But first, guys, school's about to start, and Houston Can Academies, great school. They take in kids who have dropped out of other schools. They give them a second chance. A lot of these are great kids. A lot of them had to get jobs to support their families. There's all kinds of reasons why they had to go to Houston Can Academy. And they help them. They get them through. And so many of these kids go on and do great things and have gone on to become terrific adults. And it's all because of Houston Can Academies. But they need your donation. And with school coming, now is the time. They need it more than ever. And your donation, real simple. Just a vehicle you're not using anymore. It could be a truck, a car, a motorcycle, a boat, a forklift. Whatever it is, all you have to do is make the call. Donate it. Your donation's tax deductible. So you're going to like that when you start filing your taxes at the end of the year. So you get a tax deductible donation. You are going to get it towed free of charge. They fill out all the paperwork. They take care of everything and make it as easy as possible on you. And if you donate today, they're going to give you Astros tickets on top of that. All you have to do is give them a call. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226 or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Listening to The Blitz.
Hold on to your butt.
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Jerome Solomon filling in today for AJ. The HD show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring. Located on Luetta, Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 Crown, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by and turn Monday into Fun Day with the HD show.
That's, $4 Crown.
Man, that sounds like such a great deal. I'd actually like to go up there.
Brothers, I know. That's... Ooh, man, that sounds like a spot.
I need to. The problem is I have to take one day off a week from going out and doing silly stuff. So why not Monday?
Monday's a fun day. And they'll be doing it Monday Night Football, et cetera?
I'm sure they will. They're always out there on Mondays. Mm-hmm. So that's a good show. I like those guys.
Oh, yeah, they have fun.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Now, I don't want to say you were wrong or anything, but we were talking before the Olympics about how there are going to be all these disasters and So now you get a green pool. Wait, now you've got right, and you're like, oh, it's not going to be that bad.
Wait.
You're like, oh, everybody always says it's going to be bad, and it's not that bad.
And what? A green pool?
No, how about a guy getting – how about athletes getting robbed?
Come on, man. Two things.
How about Russian guys beating the crap out of motorcyclists and shooting them?
Let's start with the green pool. Really?
How do you let that happen? Come on.
And it's clear today.
Oh, yeah, because they had to drain the damn thing.
Really? They had to drain the pool? That's an international incident.
No,
I can't believe two countries didn't go to war over the green pool.
Okay,
come on.
But nobody was going to get robbed, right?
Really?
You said that.
Somebody got robbed?
Yes.
Somebody got robbed.
Uh-huh.
At gunpoint. In a major city. Hanging out at late at night. Really? Have I ever told you my Jenny Doll story? Jenny Doll creeps now because she's married. At the Olympics in Athens, Greece, Jenny Dow was there covering the Olympics, working, and she was I can laugh because it's hilarious.
Is it now?
No, she took a bus back to her hotel, and she was there. She was still in college or just finished, so she was working with the college groups. They send college students there to do all kinds of stuff, and she was one of those. So she took the bus back to her hotel where she was staying, and a guy came up to her down on the street, and she didn't speak, the language. She didn't speak Greek. It's all Greek to her. She thought he was asking her out. He was like, give me that chain. So she was robbed when she was like, sure, I'll go with you. But yeah, no, please. This happens all the time. In China, a volleyball player's father was killed, stabbed in a place where nobody had weapons.
We're only halfway there. We're only halfway through this thing.
And don't tell me you're believing this Ryan Lochte story the way that it's been told.
I have no reason not to.
Have no reason not to. Okay, well, one, I'll start with the obvious part because I'm black, so I have to go there first. That even fake cops treat white people better than real cops. For those of you who don't know, the quote-unquote story, that the latest story that we've heard was Ryan Lochte, U.S. swimmer, and some other guys were out at a party, an unsanctioned outing somewhere without security, going to places who knows where the heck were. And his mother first told reporters that they were in a taxi. The taxi stopped for gas, and they were robbed. Ryan changed the story and said, we were riding and pulled over by a car. They had no lights, no siren, no anything, and guys got out with badges. And I didn't think they were police. They said, get on the ground. Ryan Lochte, white guy, duh, goes, no, I'm not getting on the ground. You stopped me for no reason, sir. I don't understand why you would pull me over. I didn't do anything. Because your brother, that wouldn't work like that. And allegedly, the guy cocked the gun and put it up to his forehead and said, get on the ground. They took their wallets and their cash. They left them with their Olympic credentials and their cell phones so he could text his mother and say, I was robbed. Now, a few hours later, Ryan Lochte meets with his coach, the U.S. coach, who is his personal coach, did not tell him at all about being robbed at gunpoint, put on your knees with a gun to your head, and a guy cocked it with a fake badge. He didn't tell him that at all. So when the media asked the guy, hey, we just heard Ryan was robbed, he's like, I just met with Ryan a few minutes ago. He didn't say anything about being robbed. I'm not buying the story. But even if it did happen, really? 11,000 athletes in a city the size of Rio, and you don't think somebody's going to get robbed? Get out of here.
Well, this isn't the first time. And it started before with the laptops and everything else and the Olympic Village. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stories about it.
I had a laptop. I don't know if you had started. You were the boss there yet. There may have been a stretch right before you came back. I had a laptop stolen at TSU covering the TSU relays. It happens.
Actually, I remember that.
It happens. I mean, come on. That's it.
Yeah, but you can't just dismiss every single one of them and say it happens. I mean,
you can because you've already made up your mind to do it.
So
yeah, exactly. So I'm going to defend my point.
and boy, I bet you'd believe him if he was a black guy.
What?
I bet you'd believe his story if he was a black guy.
No, not when he says, "I told him I wasn't getting on the ground," and then the guy cocked the gun, put it in his forehead, and he goes, "Whatever." That a direct quote from Ryan Lochte is. He said, "Get on the ground." The other guys with me got on the ground. And I said, "No, you pulled me over for no reason, sir." And then the guy cocked the gun, put it to his forehead. And Ryan Lochte, direct quote, said, "Whatever."
He's probably drunk. that makes sense. Whatever, man. You're going to shoot me. Go right ahead, dude.
If you're in a taxi that stops for gas, run.
Well, and if you're getting pulled over by a car with no lights, I'm not pulling over. I'm just going to keep going.
That was the taxi dude's brothers. That was his family. He's like, I got some hot ones. They're drunk back here having gay sex in the back. Come on, let's go get them.
So you're saying they were having...
That kind of slipped out.
So I didn't know that about Ryan Lochte.
Have you seen his hair? That's not fair.
I didn't know. Hey, whatever you're into, that's fine, but... Okay, if that's what they were doing
He told a guy with a gun to his head, whatever. Really? Dude, you deserve to get robbed. And who robs somebody and they don't take their cell phone? Okay, maybe they go, maybe these could be traced.
Well, that's the thing. Most of them now, you lock them anyway. You're not going to be able to do anything with them.
In Brazil?
Well, I don't know. Yes. I don't know what... happens in Brazil because I've never been there and have no intention of going. Because I don't want to get robbed at gunpoint. Or
when you go to Brazil, the first thing you do is go rent a cell phone. That's what you do.
Yeah,
because you use the cell phone. I've been there a few times. I've never been robbed but I'm black. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they don't mess with brothers. Maybe I have to be white, having gay sex in the back with frosted hair to get robbed in Rio, going to a party. 3 a.m. There's not all of these Olympic parties, all of these Olympic functions with all of these fancy things going on. 11,000 athletes, 7,000 athletic, beautiful women around, and y'all go to some private party somewhere away without telling anybody you're going, and you get robbed. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you outed Ryan Lochte.
And they told him to go on their knees.
You know, his wife was like a Playboy model, and you're still saying he's...
I didn't say he was.
You were saying they were having gay sex in the back of the car.
I just threw that out there as a possibility.
I just want to go on record. This is Jerome Solomon reporting. He's outing him right now.
I'm not.
It's worse than that Daily Beast story, man.
I don't know
man.
Anything about the guy.
You found him on Grindr, didn't you? You did. You sick, perverted son of a... Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.